Hello, hello, good morning, and welcome back to my podcast. This is Grow with Marjan, a safe space where we grow together and we learn together and we navigate life together. So it's a brand new day, brand new week, and what that means is that you have a brand new opportunity to reinvent yourself, to improve yourself, and you know what? You got another day on this earth to go after your dreams and chase that bag, yo. It's your chance to step up this week and show me what you're made of, okay? So without further ado, let's jump right into this episode. So if you've been following me for a while, you would know that I'm from Iran. So ethnically, I'm Persian, right? Which makes me Middle Eastern. And like a lot of people from Asia in general, like Daisies, Arabs, Persians, we are all just like known to be very passionate and like really, we got the passion, you know, like we're very, I don't know what to say other than passion. Like we feel a lot. We have a lot of emotions. We feel like the full range of emotions. And when we're happy, we're like super happy. But then at the same time, like when we get super angry, you know? And what I'm trying to get at is that I, coming from like a Middle Eastern family or like a Persian family, I grew up seeing like these type of angers as like the norm. Like it's like you see road rage. You see people fighting on the streets. You see a lot of anger just in everyday life, right? And even though I grew up like living in China, but just being Persian, the fact that I'm Persian alone is like, that's all I saw. And I feel like it's very normal in our countries to have anger in the everyday life. And it's like, it could be like the smallest things and people would just like, that's a very accepted way for people to react, which really like for me now, I feel like that's really not accepted for people to get angry over like the smallest things. But that's just the way I grew up. And that's like what I grew up seeing. So naturally, I was a very angry person, like not to say angry as in like I hated the world, because there's different ways of being angry, right? Like there's a person who's angry and like they think the world owes them. They think that everything is against them. Everyone is scheming against them. Not like that type of like bitter, not a bitter angry person, but just like very reactive. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. I was a very reactive person. So that's all I grew up knowing, right? And especially in high school and like middle school onwards, I feel like that's like when you're getting becoming a teenager, you're emotional and like you're very hormonal and also like you're trying to make sense of who you are, and like there's a lot of mimicking your parents going on, like you're trying to act all adults and like all of that emotions all together. And as a result, I was like a pretty angry, reactive person. And I didn't really have a lot of like anger management skills. Like when I used to get angry, when I was during like my teenage years or whatever, I used to be like I would actually like to throw stuff around or like just be really angry. Like obviously nothing physical or like that, but just very reactive, you know. I didn't have like an outlet to kind of like get rid of those like negative emotions. And because I grew up seeing it as such a normal thing, I never really knew that there is an alternative. And so that was like my background until I was an adult, like 18, 19. And I was going through a lot of like learning, very fast, rapid learning, like from the final year of high school. Like there was like an exponential growth in me. Like I started becoming super interested in self-growth, reading books, and like just growing as a person, I guess, like becoming more mature. And a part of that was just like going out with my dad. And I mean, I've been going out with my dad to his like business work stuff since I was young. But then this particular trip that I went on, one of his business like associates was someone who was very calm. And I could just see like the dynamics of how he went about to do stuff. Like no matter what the situation was, that guy, he was a businessman, right? And he was very calm. And I could see how like being cool and collected just like, I don't know, something just clicked in my head. And I was like, wait, that's like the right way to do it. Like if you're angry or like just reactive and stuff, I feel like there's a better way to do things. Like if you're asking for someone, like if you're asking to be understood, or if you're having an argument or if whatever, the ability to keep your cool and like being composed, I feel like to me at the time I was like, wow, so you could go through like emotions, like intense emotions, as I mentioned, like a passionate person. You could be passionate about what you do and be like an intense person without being crazy and like argumentative and reactive and shouting and loud and blah blah blah. No, you can't. So that's why I had a lot of respect for that guy, and I was like, wow, okay, so there is a whole world out there like that. So then I started looking into it and working on myself, and it has been a long journey, I would say, but now I rarely get angry. If I get angry, it's like I get really angry. I mean, I still get really angry when I get angry, but I don't react the same way I used to react, and also I rarely get angry. Like you have to really cross a big boundary or like something that's really personal to me or something like that for me to get like actually angry. But even when I get actually angry, I feel like I'm pretty good at composing myself. But just looking as like a whole holistic way of looking at our emotions, anger is very damaging, not only to like our interpersonal skills, to our integrity, the way that anger like reflects a person, and also to our health, like to our physical health. Like overall speaking, anger is a very damaging emotion for all aspects of our lives. Like it really reflects someone's character, whether they can compose themselves, how do they react when they're angry, and all of that. I feel like it's really important, and that's why it's very important for us to be able to, control that side of ourselves. And that's like very obvious. But one thing that I was very like interested to find out is that anger is really, really bad for our health. And there are a lot of studies shown where they track people's lives who have like anger, not anger issues, but tend to be angry, like have anger tendencies. And then anger is like one of the risk factors of death, or like a predictors of like life expectancy and stuff. The risk factor of like anger, the risk of anger on health is higher than like risk of heart disease on health. Like it's kind of like it's the same as like smoking cigarettes. Like it's comparable. If you're an angry person, the effect that it has on your health is comparable to smoking cigarettes like excessively. So that's how crazy it is. Like if you're a very angry person, and then you work out and you do all that, you eat healthy, whatever, whatever, and you don't smoke and all of that, still, if you're angry, that alone is like causing a lot of damage to your health. It has a lot of effects on like cardiovascular health and a lot of effects on like blood pressure and all that. And I feel like, yeah, we know like from our cultures, they're always like, don't get angry, it's not good for you, it's not good for you. But it actually is not, though. Like, it actually does affect your health. So, yeah, just something to keep in mind. Now, in this book, the author talks mainly about the neuroscience of the brain, and I feel like that's really important because once you understand how the brain works, then you can work to combat the brain. So let's say like when you have an enemy, you want to attack someone, right? You need to understand the enemy and then you attack them. So I'm not saying our brain is the enemy, but when we are in a situation where we have to control ourselves, to understand how the brain works is so important. And the more I explain, the more it's going to make sense. But I just want to say it like a disclaimer from the very beginning. This anger management, or like really controlling your anger, this like episode is not like a game. Like it's not like, oh, count to 10 and then like do a deep breath. That's not what I'm going to talk about, because actually anger management takes a lot of work, and you need to be willing to work on yourself, and it's not a joke. So I just had to like make that it's like it's real stuff. Like it's the real deal. So just be prepared to put in the effort, and but then the positives of having like a very composed personality is honestly gonna help you like 10,000 times more. So without further ado, let's jump right into the science. The brain is made up of different components, and in short, we have two big components. One is the rational brain, and one is the emotional brain. The rational brain is called the prefrontal cortex, which is the part that we have cognitive skills. It has our memories. It has rational thinking and logic. And it's the part of the brain that is analytical. It will process information and it will just like do deduction, all of these like logical cognitive skills. And then we have the emotional brain, which is the amygdala. It's called the amygdala. It has a funny name. And the amygdala also has memory, but it can only store the memories that are very strong emotional attachment to it, that has very strong emotional attachment to it. So it has memory, but it is very insufficient in that way, and in a way that the memory is limited, and it has very limited analytical skills. And it's mainly like an emotional component, right? And the author actually described the emotional brain as childlike. So it kind of is like a child in two ways. Firstly, is that it's very self-affirming. So it's very stubborn, the emotional brain. When you get angry, and emotional brain will only give you evidence about the times that the same thing has happened. So it's self-assuring yourself. So if you're scared, and the emotional brain takes over, it's gonna be like, it's gonna constantly give you evidence of why you should be scared. It's not gonna let you give you evidence from why you should not be scared. You know, it's self-assuring. That's the first thing. And the second characteristic of the amygdala, the emotional brain, which makes it childlike, is that it has very categorical thinking, which means that it's very black and white. So if something happens and the first reaction of the emotional brain is that it's good or bad, like that. Whereas our rational brain would be like, okay, but maybe they have this, okay, maybe like this, but then our emotional brain is just immediately going to have a response, good or bad, right? So then we have the rational brain and the emotional brain. And most of the time, both of the brains are working together. They're coordinating. That's the way it is built. So we have the rational input and we have the emotional input, right? But then the way that the physical aspect of how the brain is arranged is that whenever we get like a sensory input is like when we see something or when we hear something, when we get a sensory input, there is a signal sent to the brain, right? It's called a synapse. A signal will be sent to the brain, but the signal from our sensory input to the amygdala, to the emotional brain, is only one signal, okay? But then it takes almost 2.5 times longer for that signal to reach the emotion to the rational brain. So when you get like this, like you see something, you hear something, someone's talking to you and they say something to you, right? First, it reaches your emotional brain. Let's say in 1 second, it reaches your emotional brain. Actually, it's like a split second. It's like very fast. So first it reaches your emotional brain, let's say 1 second. And then after 1.5 seconds, it will reach your rational brain. So you get what I'm trying to say? That's why whenever people are like, respond, don't react. That's what they're trying to say, is that if within 1 second you hear something and you reply right away, the information actually has not reached your logical brain yet. So your rational brain have not processed the information. You're only speaking on behalf of the emotional brain, which has very, very limited capacity of like logical analytics, right? So if you're reacting right away, you're actually just reacting with your emotional brain. That's why it's like they say think before you talk, is actually you're giving your brain time to send the signal to the rational brain, and then for it to give you a proper response. So let me give you like an example, okay? Let's say you're meeting up with a friend, and your friend is like, let me think. Maybe a friend is like, oh my God, you look fat, you know, say something like that, or like a comment you really don't like. So the friend is like, you look fat, right? 1 second, like not 1 second, let's say 0.1 second, the signal from what you heard goes to your emotional brain. Your emotional brain is like, ew, she did not just do that. Oh my God. And you snap back with like a rude comment also. Like they say something mean, you snap back with a mean thing. Like, oh, like you don't, or some, I don't know, like some bad response, right? But then if your friend says that, because that's what the emotional brain is built to do. The emotional brain will give you very categorical, like a child, like that's the response it's going to be like, you know, it's very like, let's say it's like a kid, okay? That's how it's gonna react. And then, but then if you wait for your friend says the comment, you wait for like 2 seconds, that you're actually waiting for the information to reach the brain. The brain scans your memory, it scans your analytics, and then it gives you a proper response. So when it's going to your actual brain, you're like, oh, maybe she doesn't mean it that way. Or maybe she's just self-projecting. Maybe she's actually like in a bad day or whatever, whatever. And then you're like, how can I be smart about this? And you'll be like, oh, what makes you say that? Or like something like that. You know what I mean? So you have to give time for the message to reach your rational brain instead of just reacting with your emotional brain. So it's to respond, don't react. That's the thing. Respond, do not react. Give yourself time to process the information with your rational mind instead of reacting with your emotional mind, because then you will get in trouble. So then you might be like, why do we even have this emotional brain? Is it like a damage to us? Is it like a fallacy? Is it like a poor product design for us to have like an emotional brain? The fact is that no, the emotional brain is very, very important in our survival. So the reason why it's located so close to receiving the signals is because it's the part of the brain that's responsible for like flight or fight. It's the part of the brain that's responsible for the emergencies, for because it's very fast in processing information, that it can give you like split second decisions. So it's like if you see like a bear coming, your first response is to run away because the emotional brain feels the fear. You feel the fear and that makes you run. Whereas if you wait for it to fully reach your rational side of the brain, it takes too much time. It takes way longer. It takes 2.5 times longer for it to reach your rational brain. So that's why the whole reason why we have the emotional brain is actually to help us in survival. So that's a survival mechanism for us. And like I mentioned, the emotional brain and the rational brain, most of the time they're working hand in hand. They both have like an input in whatever situation you're going through, except when the signal is too strong to the emotional brain, whenever there is like a very strong feeling involved, like fear, anger, anxiety, scared, like when there's like a strong emotion involved into the amygdala, the emotional brain, it will trigger a response that's called a neural hijacking. And what that does is that it overtakes the rational brain. Okay, so once it overtakes the rational brain, you cannot hear your rational brain anymore. So that's like when you get into fight or flight, for example. And that, of course, like I mentioned, it's very important for our survival skills, but it can also be a disadvantage to us, like as modern humans. So for example, let's say you're like walking alone at night and you see someone walk behind you and you get really scared and you get like an anxiety attack or something almost, and you get into fight or flight, because then your emotional brain processes this very fast and you're like run. And then at this point, you're not hearing your logical brain, which is like, hey, this could be a normal person. Hey, don't worry. Like, this is a well-lit street. The street is safe, blah, blah, blah. You're not hearing that anymore because your emotional brain has hijacked your neural pathways. So the only signal you're getting back from your brain is from the emotional brain. And that explains why when we get angry, like when we get really, really angry sometimes, we get out of control. That's when the amygdala, the emotional brain, is taking over the rational brain. And then at that point, there's really nothing much we can do. So then it's like you will say things, you will react some certain way, but then you regret it. But then and you're like, why did I say that? And the reason why you said it is because your logical brain has been suppressed the whole time that you were overtaken by this strong emotion. And I feel like that's really important to understand the way that the brain works. And if in the beginning, for example, when someone says something to you or you feel triggered, if you give it a little time for it to reach your rational side of the brain, then a lot of things could be avoided. Another piece of information that I think is super important for us to know is that when a baby is born, the amygdala, emotional brain, is almost fully formed. So by the time they're a few months old, the emotional brain is completely formed. But then the prefrontal cortex, which is the logical brain, as we know, it doesn't become fully formed until we're 25. And that's crazy, don't you think? That our emotional brain, because it's so important, it has to be formed at an early age. But then the author was explaining that a lot of the kids who go through, like as kids, whenever we'd go through, especially kids that grow up with like very abusive parents or go through a lot of trauma, before we even know how to speak, before we even know language, our emotional brain is already storing a lot of memories. Okay, so the amygdala will store any memory that has a strong emotion attached to it. So at, let's say you're 1 year old, you don't know any of the words. You don't know this feeling is fear. You don't know this feeling is like anxiety, but your brain is already like storing this information. So let's say you grew up with parents who yelled a lot, like shouted and yelled a lot. And then as a kid, your emotional brain, every time you hear the yelling, your emotional brain like gets an anxiety, okay? So in your brain, it's associating yelling with anxiety, okay? And then you forget about it. Because you don't even know this feeling is called anxiety because you don't know language, but you remember the association of it because we are like an animal, right? We remember the association. So then when you grow up like 20 years later, when someone yells at you, suddenly you get an anxiety attack, right? And why do you get that? You don't know why it's happening. You don't know why out of nowhere it's happening to you. But then it's like the reason is, before you even know what an anxiety is, before you even knew the word, your brain already associated yelling with anxiety attacks. So that's why you react the way you do. So that's why a lot of the time, when we react to something, it's our subconscious mind. It's basically the part of your brain, the memories that are so deep that you don't know where they're coming from, but they're most likely coming from your childhood. And it happens a lot to people that are like trauma survivors, like PTSD and all that stuff, is that a lot of their memories are from childhood and they would suddenly, something will trigger them, but you can never find out what the trigger was because it's something that's way back. Like you have no conscious memory of it, but your emotional brain has remembered it. So I think that's another information that is really important for us to know. Now that we understand how the brain is made and we know there's the emotional brain, we know there is the rational brain, we know that there is neural hijacking, and we know that how the two brains operate. Now we go into what can we do to manage our anger, right? And the first biggest tip I have is impulse control, and which is also what the author mentioned. You have to suppress the initial impulse to react. So when you hear your friend make a comment, your first, and it's hard because you're actually going against your nature, right? You need to repress the initial signal. And that's why it's called impulse control, because you have an impulse to say something, but you suppress it. You wait 2 more seconds and you wait for the rational brain to give you back the feedback. So that's the first biggest step, is that resist the first initial feeling that you want to respond whenever you feel triggered. And it doesn't even have to be about triggered. It's just like everyday life. Just think, wait like 1-2 seconds longer before you respond. And that's really going to help you like a long way. It will go a long, long way. So that's the first thing, impulse control. Don't react, respond. Because don't react, respond. That's it. Don't react, respond. Basic. Second thing is that when we get an emotional response in our emotional brain, the amygdala actually, it goes back to the survival and it goes back to evolution, is that it will activate the whole body to give a response, okay? So like in nature, if something was attacking us and you feel the fear or anger or whatever, the amygdala has a power to activate the other parts of the body. So when we go into fight or flight, right, there's a lot of changes happening in the physical body, with like secreting adrenaline, raising heartbeat, breathing heavier, all that stuff that are actually associated with an emotional response. So when our amygdala gets like overpowered, when it takes over the emotional, when the emotional brain takes over the rational brain, there's a lot of changes happening inside your body, right? So when you get angry, when you feel that you're getting angry, you're conscious that you're getting angry, you need to remove yourself from that situation until the physical signs of anger are gone. What are the physical signs of anger? Heavy breathing, faster heart rate, you like you feel the blood rush to your face. All of that are the physical signs that you're angry. And when they did research about like what will happen if you're in an angry situation like that, when you shout at someone and they shout you back and you shout back again, it actually just doubles, like it will exponentially increase your physical signs of anger. So it will just make you more angry and more angry and more angry. So because it always escalates. So when someone responds to an angry situation with anger, it actually makes it worse. And we know that, right? We know that if anger would just make it more angry. If you respond to an angry person with anger, that's just going to make you more angry, and it's going to make them more angry, and it's just going to escalate, and it will make the physical arousal even more and more. So that's the second step, is that once you realize, like, first, impulse control. Secondly, when you realize you're getting angry, you need to go on a walk. You need to remove yourself from the situation until your physical arousal has returned to a normal body, like a normal body physical condition. And that's what the author was suggesting, is that when you're in a situation where someone is angry, don't respond with anger. Someone is angry and you are angry, don't respond with anger. Be like, I'll come back to you. Let me take a moment. Let me remove myself from the situation. And you have to wait until your body returns to normal. And now, the more angry you are, the longer it will take for your body to return to a normal state, because you're waiting for the physical effects of the emotional brain to fade away. And one of the ways for it to return to normal is heavy breathing. Deep breathing, taking deep, slow, controlled breaths. And that just sends the signal to your brain that you're not in an emergency, you're not in a danger, and that will help you like get back to normal faster. So that's the second tip. The third tip about anger management is to know self-awareness. Self-awareness is the ability to know exactly what you're feeling and put the names, match the names to the feelings that you're having. So if you have a feeling inside, you're like, oh my God, what is this feeling? And you can put a name to it. Be like, this is anxiety. This is stress. This is anger. This is hurt. This is heartbreak. This is whatever. And usually we learn to develop the skills at the age of 5 to 6 to match the names to the emotions and identify our feelings. But sometimes we don't develop them too well. It really entirely depends on culture, depends on how you're raised, depends on your actual like heritage and DNA. But at the end of the day, the less accurate you are in naming these emotions, and it will result you to have lower self-awareness. And people that have low self-awareness, actually, it actually sabotages you a lot. Because, for example, let's say, oh yeah, so the example that the author gave is that if you don't have self-awareness, you feel an emotion and you're like, I am so angry, right? But at the end of the day, but if you analyze your emotions, if you have self-awareness, you can understand that actually I'm not angry, I'm actually hurt. The reason why I am like feeling this way is not because I'm angry at this person for what they did, but I'm actually deep inside, I'm hurt for what they did. The anger is coming from hurt. So this is called self-awareness. And this is a skill that we can develop as well. So you have to work on it. You have to, first of all, be conscious about when you're getting angry, that you can identify, okay, now I'm getting angry, I'm getting aroused, I have to remove myself from the situation. Secondly, why did I feel this way? What are the feelings, what are the emotions that I'm feeling right now? Because anger is always rooted from something else. Almost entirely, anger is always rooted for something else. Is it an insecurity that triggered this? Is it a trauma? Is it like disrespect? Like what was the reason why I became angry? So that's self-awareness. And that's something that will take a lot of work. And you have to, the more you do it and the more you practice it, the more you're gonna master it, basically. And also self-awareness comes a lot from knowing yourself. So that's another point, is to learn your patterns. You need to understand yourself. If you really, really want to handle your anger management, if you want to really, really combat your anger issues, you need to know yourself very well. Know what are your triggers, okay? Like, for example, a trigger that I have, which is also a common trigger for a lot of people, is like if someone raises their voice. Like if you're just having a conversation and I'm like and we're debating, I'm like, I'm still calm and cool. But once someone raises their voice at me, I'm like, yo, why are you yelling? Why are you yelling? Like, that makes me really angry. And I know that's a trigger for me. So I know my own patterns is that if someone starts yelling at me, I'm going to get really angry. So then I know my patterns. So as soon as someone starts yelling, I'm like, hey, I think we need to take 5 minutes. I'll come back to you. Just, you know, don't, in the moment, if it was the old me, I'll yell back, right? I'll be like, why are you yelling? You know? But then if you're the higher self, your higher version of yourself, you're going to remove yourself from the situation. You're going to wait for your body, your heart rate to return to the normal rate, and then you return. So that's very important. Self-awareness comes from knowing yourself. And knowing yourself includes knowing your patterns and knowing your triggers. So this is something you need to learn about yourself and understand. Now, the next tip I have for anger management is actually something that is more of a mindfulness connected mindfulness related point, and I learned it from the book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and that's also a really, really famous book. But what he says is that one of the laws, one of the 7 habits, is seek to understand before being understood. So what you're trying to do is when you're in a situation where two people are angry, you cultivate compassion. And your goal in this moment is to understand the other person's side before trying to be understood. Because a lot of the time, right, we're always, why are we shouting so much? It's because we're trying to let the other side understand our point of view. We want them to know why we are angry. Why am I angry about this? Why am I hurt? Why am I triggered, right? But then you need to take a step back and understand the other side first. And I know, like, in the moment, it feels like it's something hard because we're all very selfish. We want to be understood. We seek the validation. We want to hear, okay, I feel you. I know why you're feeling this way. I understand you. I validate you. But in that moment, when two people are fighting, you need to be the bigger person and seek to understand the other person's view first. And that's like a really something that it's very hard. In the moment, it's really, really hard. But I'm really trying to do it by myself too. So I would take a step back. I'd be like, okay, tell me why did you react this way? Tell me what made you feel like, how are you feeling right now? Why are you reacting this way? And then once they explain it, a lot of the times I'll be like, oh, okay, then I validate your feeling. Your feelings are valid. And I'm sorry, this was the misunderstanding. So now I heard your side of things. This is how I am feeling. And that really helps a lot because the whole idea is that you don't let it escalate. You hear the other side's view and then you end it right there. But if you fight back, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it explodes, okay? And another tip I have for anger management is something that I'm working on too, is controlling your body language. So in the book, the author mentioned that emotional intelligence is not just words, but a whole part of emotional intelligence is how well we pick up the signals. So a lot of the times, if we see someone is sad or angry or upset, most of the time is because we're picking it up from their facial expressions, from their body, from their physical like appearance. It doesn't even have a lot to do with the actual words. So the same thing applies to you, right? So now I feel like I kind of quite mastered like not saying stuff when I'm angry, like repressing my initial thought to say something. Like when I'm annoyed, like I repress it, I don't say it. But then when it comes to like my face, I feel like a lot of the times my face shows that I'm really angry. And like I'm trying to listen to what my sister is saying, for example, when we're in a fight, but my face is just, I just have like a bitchy face on. And then she'll be like, why, stop looking at me like that. You know, that just like takes her off. And that's my fault, is that if you're really trying to be compassionate, then you need to control your face too. Like that's really important. Control your body language, be more open and don't be tense. This is another thing that they were suggesting, is that relax your muscles. Like in the moment, relax your facial muscles, relax your shoulders. You know, we don't want Botox. We don't want any frown lines in 10 years. So relax those muscles, like relax your eyebrows and control your body language, because most of the communication between the human beings is actually nonverbal communication rather than verbal communication. So if you want to master anger management, you need to master your nonverbal communication. And finally, another tip for dealing with anger is to don't let it build up. I feel like a lot of the times when we explode and when we get angry is because we let something build up. And I have to say this, anger is a very valid emotion. All of our emotions are very good for us. All of the emotions are meant to be there, okay? And anger itself is also a valid emotion. It's an emotion that could be very useful for us if we use it correctly. It is an indicator for us to set boundaries. It is an indicator for us to understand ourselves, know what is bothering us. Like when we feel anger, we know that someone has crossed the line. When we feel anger, we know that it is something that's important to us. It's our values. Anger itself is not a negative, like crazy negative emotion, you know? You cannot be like totally zen and never be angry. That's not what I'm saying. But then I'm saying you need to know when you're angry or when something is bothering you, you need to say it on the spot. Utilize the anger in your favor, but don't let it escalate, because at the end of the day, you are controlling your mind, not your anger controlling you, right? So use the anger. Like a few episodes back, I talk about how we can use jealousy to advance ourselves. The same concept, you use anger to advance yourself. You know, you use anger to understand yourself. If something made me angry, why did it trigger me? Why did it like bother me, you know? And don't let it build up, basically. When you feel anger, you need to vocalize it and you need to say it to someone on the spot, especially as girls. I feel like a lot of the times we as girls, we're like, if something bothers us, we don't say it on the spot, and then we think about it and think about it, and then it just makes it a bigger deal, and then you talk to people about it and it just becomes a whole big deal, and then when you actually meet like whatever person, then it would explode, right? But when something is bothering you, on the spot, say it out. Be like, hey, I really didn't like you saying that. What do you mean? Like, don't say that, you know? And that's one tip if you want to like totally eliminate anger from your life. So before we end today's episode, I wanted to talk about a very important thing. Today we talked about anger, but being irritable and irritated is not the same thing as anger. So being irritated is like a minor annoying feeling, right? It's not the same thing as anger. It can definitely escalate into anger, but what could be is like if you're not an angry person, you could still be a very easily irritable person, and they're not the same thing. But also I feel like they're very closely associated. So I wanted to give you some tips on how to not be irritable so easily, right? And the first thing is, again, it has to do with impulse control. You need to control your impulses. When your brain is like hyper-focusing on something which is making you irritated, you need to build patience and build that type of impulse control that you're like, I don't want to listen to you and I'm going to focus on other things. Like redirect your focus. Suppress your initial urge to snap at something when it's irritating you. Because honestly, at the end of the day, it's something small. If it's something small, then it shouldn't irritate you. That's just your brain playing tricks on you. So you practice patience, you practice impulse control, and you suppress it and you redirect your attention to something else. Like for example, I get irritated when I hear chewing food sounds. What do? I redirect it to something else. I used to be like, oh my God, can you stop chewing so loudly? You're so annoying. You know, I used to be like that. But now I suppress it. First of all, suppress, redirect attention to something else. Mission successful. Move on. Secondly, if you get irritated easily, just remember that you need to chill down. You need to chill. You need to calm down. Really, it's not that deep. Relax, bro. It's not that deep. That's it. Just remind yourself. Take a breath and be like, it's not that deep. I am zen and I'm not gonna react over something small like a crazy person. Third thing, be very intentional about the way you are. If you're really trying to be a patient person, if you're trying to be not irritated, if you're trying to be not angry, you need to call yourself out. You need to be intentional and you have to be intentionally present. So once you feel like there's an annoying feeling, you'd be like, oh, hey, look, you're getting irritated, you're getting annoyed. Call yourself out. And the simple act of calling yourself out is like holding yourself accountable, and then you can move on to the next situation. You don't have to be annoyed by yourself. And finally, if you're getting irritated very easily, I feel like you need to look into yourself. Because you know how kids, like babies, when they're crying and then like they're crying nonstop, the thing moms would do is like, okay, check their diaper. Okay, it's not the diaper. Are they hungry? No, they're not hungry. Are they like sick? No, they're not sick. Like, what is the problem? You know, they will diagnose them. If you are feeling very irritated, you need to check yourself. Like, what's wrong? Like, check in with yourself. Like, hey, are you okay? Like, why are you being irritated so easily? Like, maybe it's just near your period, but are you, like, do you have built up tension? Are you stressed? Just check up on yourself. See, like, because being irritated 24/7 is not a normal thing. And if you're acting up, you need to be the parent to yourself and check on yourself and figure out why you're acting up and figure out why you're being irritated. So that's my tip in dealing with irritability. And that's all I wanted to talk about today. So I want to summarize for you, okay? Summarize, in summary, the emotional brain is useful for us. We love her, but she's a little stubborn and she's a little spicy. So we listen to her, but not all the time. We try to give space and time for the emotional brain and the rational brain to both give their input, and then we respond. We don't react. We respond. And we are very self-aware. We analyze ourselves when we are feeling angry, and we find out what triggers us, what is our patterns, why are we acting the way we're doing, and how we're actually feeling. Is it really anger, or is it other things? And thirdly, we control ourselves. We have impulse control. We control including our body language, and we seek to understand before being understood. And we are compassionate and have empathy and sympathy. So that's all I wanted to talk about today, guys. Go have a zen week ahead. Be very calm and chill. And you know what? Baddies can be baddies. Baddies can be spicy. But we don't need to be angry, you know? Save your anger for the situations that they're actually, where you actually need to be angry, okay? Save your anger for when your man cheats on you, okay? God forbid. But don't waste your anger on normal things. Also, we want to live a happy, long life. Healthy body, healthy mind. So we don't want to use anger to intoxicate ourselves, okay? So yeah, go and slay today, slay the week, slay the year. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.